The following programming is sponsored by Pete Trabuco. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
And welcome to another edition of Live on Tape with Pete Trabuco here at WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, Philadelphia, our Beasley Media Group station. Pete Trabuco with you today, and we got a we got a substitute as a producer, which I've had him many times before. Josh Applebaum is here as the producer of the show for Live on Tape here in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's a beautiful, and I mean a beautiful, Saturday afternoon. We just love having you guys show up and listen to the station. And thanks to, you all out there. We were nominated. I'll be heading to Nashville. Top, I think it's called the Top Radio / Website Award National from the Josie Awards. And that's going to be Nashville, Tennessee, right at the Grand Ole Opry Hotel. But I think it's going to be pretty cool. So I'm really looking forward to actually being there for that. I'm up against pretty good stiff competition, including a whole bunch of people, ABC, CBS, NBC. And I'm really, really happy about that as well. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for nominating. And thank you for having us be one of the best out there for talk radio, and I appreciate it. So anyway, Saturday, beautiful day. As we know, the Eagles, well, you know, the Eagles are doing good. They're trudging along. It's much better than the last seven games they had last year. So we're looking forward to that. And, of course, the Phillies, you know, I tell you, they're doing great. I mean, they're just doing great, and they're not going to disappoint us. I think I'm going to be very, very happy with the results there. No major injuries, and everybody seems to be plugging away. So it's really cool that they're doing really well. So the sports teams here are pretty good. I think they're very, very good. So Josh is here. And Josh, are you a baseball or a football fan at all? Tell me about that.
I was a fan of the Phillies growing up as a kid.
Was?
I do remember. You know, it's been a while since I've been to a game. I've been busy.
Well,
but I remember my dad taking me there.
Yeah, well, listen, you're here. You're in Philadelphia, man. You got to be a Phillies fan or a silent, Mets fan. Okay, we can't go there. But you got to be a fan of baseball. How about football?
Pro Eagles all the way.
Oh, okay.
The Super Bowl. I was actually with a friend by City Hall. We watched the parade when they won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
It was crazy. I mean, insane.
Oh,
but
my
in
goodness.
A good way.
Well, yeah. But that was a while back. But yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, have you been to a game since? Have you been to, because obviously it's been many years and they were in a Super Bowl after that where they unfortunately did not win. But were you are you involved with any of the players these days? And, we've got some really good players that came on board as well. And the coach is still there. So that's pretty cool. But anything else that you can tell me about the Eagles? Fly, Eagles, fly.
I think that's basically the anthem in pretty much every morning now. As soon as football season starts, I actually have my playlist that I play off my computer. And that's
okay.
The first thing that comes off my playlist as I'm getting ready to go to my other job.
Not a problem. Well, listen, we need some karma here. You know, we need some good karma going out there because they're doing well, both the Eagles and, of course, our Phillies. We want to see a reversal of what happened last year with the Phillies and with the Eagles towards the end. So bottom line is we definitely want to see that happen. Now, this show is different. Now, we normally have celebrities on. You know, we've had obviously a lot of singers, boxers, sports people, athletes, movie stars, and the like. And of course, up and coming people in Philadelphia that are doing quite well on the musical charts or in some along the lines. We're into a different topic today, and I'm so, so happy. I haven't talked about this topic since this gentleman was on the show last time, and that's got to be at least 2 or 3 years ago. Now, as you all know, I've written two books on roller coasters. One in 2009, it was called America's Top Roller Coasters and Amusement Parks. I wrote my second book in 2019, which is 10 years later, A Personal Guide to the Best Thrill Rides and Amusement Parks, okay? And they did quite well. In fact, after that, we ended up doing some stuff for the Travel Channel with Top Thrill Dragster. Basically, the name escapes me, but it was Thrill Ride Maniacs. And if you go online, you could actually see the sizzle that we have on that show. So did a lot with the roller coasters and thrill rides, and had the two books. Did a lot of stuff along the way, a lot of TV and radio interviews and all over the country. I've been on MSNBC, Fox News, CNN, Newsmax, and the like, CNBC, with the Business Channel for Fox and so on. So I love doing it. It was a lot of fun. I got out of it recently. But if you look at my if you look at my books, you're going to find photographs. Okay, you're going to find pictures. They are pictures I did not take. Our next guest actually took all those pictures for me in both books. And it would never have been a success. And I'm telling you, it's some great pictures. So with us today, we have not just a roller coaster enthusiast or an individual who has their own website, which is one of the best when it comes to roller coasters. That's CoasterGallery.com, I believe. But he's also an airline pilot as well. And I don't mean like an airline pilot for the regional airlines. I mean the Big D. That's all I'm going to mention. Okay, flying one of the biggest aircraft out there. It's equivalent, the Airbus equivalent, the 350 is equivalent to the 777 Boeing aircraft. That's how big it is. So in addition to roller coasters, this individual also is an airline pilot. So, Joel Rogers, how are you today? We are so glad to have you on the air. I guess you're not flying right now, so we can actually talk to you without you worrying about landing a plane. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would not be calling from the airplane. We do have Wi-Fi, but you can't do voice calls like that. But yeah, it's great being back here, Pete. I appreciate it. I'm actually on the road at the moment. My daughter's marching in the Western Thunder Marching Band at the University of Wyoming.
So okay.
I'm calling right before a game here. But I live in Colorado, and the advantage of being an airline pilot is I go all over the world. So I've ridden coasters on every continent. I've missed out on Africa. There are not a lot of coasters there. And there are obviously none in Antarctica. So I haven't gotten any credits down there yet either.
I tell you, it's interesting, all the stuff that you've done. We were off air and you talked about 104 roller coasters. What, in the last year? Is that what you said? Or?
Well, that was in a 2.5 week period just in Europe.
Wow.
I've kind of lost count how many I've done total. It was over 1,000 and I just stopped keeping track. But I did a trip that started in Amsterdam, actually in outside of Amsterdam, and it ended up in Poland. And in, 13 days, it was 104 different roller coasters. So,
my goodness.
Yeah, I've been on a lot.
So what is your total? I mean, I know you probably can't give me
it's 11 or 1200. And again, there's a little debate about what do you count a coaster? Some people call the little kiddie powered ones that have electric motors coasters, and I don't. And then, if something, a racing coaster like Gemini at Cedar Point or something, if it's two tracks, does it count as one or two? And then what about, well, the one at your close by park there, Dorney Park.
Sure.
The little shuttle came from Geauga Lake, Possessed, I think it is.
Yeah.
Intamin shuttle. And so I wrote it as, I think it was vertical velocity when it was in Ohio. And then 5, 6, 7 years later, I wrote it in Pennsylvania. I count that as just one ride, but some people would say, oh no, it counts as two different coasters. So there's a lot of gray areas, but I will definitely admit to it's well over 1,000, and I've been on all over. I got a bunch of Asian coasters. I spent some time in Korea a year ago. So I'm always traveling. The problem is there are already, I think, 73 new coasters announced for 2025 globally. So I'm never going to ride them all when they're building them that quickly, but I'm trying.
Oh, well, listen, you're doing better than I did. I think maybe in the last year, I really don't like to say this, but I've been so busy with so many other things. I've been to maybe 3 or 4 amusement parks over the past year, and we're talking, yeah, we're in October now, and maybe 20, 25, maybe, if I'm lucky, I was able to get a bunch in. But overall, I just really haven't had the time to get to these amusement parks. So you're definitely, I used to be the roller coaster expert on all these television stations all around the country. I am no longer. I will give that honor to you, because 104 in 2.5 weeks, and that's in addition to you flying an airplane, a commercial aircraft as well. You must love the thrill factor there, Joel. I think that's the case.
Oh yes. Well, and I love the diversity. I'll ride everything, small, big, and you know, they're wood, they're steel, they're looping, there's launches, there's dark rides, there are indoor rides, there's just so many. And you know, this was a good year. Obviously, it's a matter of there's never enough time, there's never enough money, and you know, there some years are better than others. But I also am blessed that all my Korean coasters I did last year, I did while I was quote unquote working, that I would fly to Korea.
Okay.
I have like 36 hours to kill in Korea, and you know, I'd have to fly the airplane back. But guess what? Instead of just hanging around in the hotel room, I went and rode some roller coasters. So I'm kind of blessed that some of my trips are free travel. Now the 100 coasters that I did in Europe, that was a personal trip that I paid for, but it's a nice job perk that I get the travel benefits. And some of these I laugh and say I'm making $2 and some odd cents an hour of per diem. So I say, hey, I'm making $2 an hour to ride roller coasters. So I'm very spoiled.
Well, that's absolutely amazing that you've done that. Now, listen, you have a crew with you, right? Obviously, this is a big aircraft. I mean, the 350 is one of the biggest, yes, aircrafts out there. You used to have the 380, which was the really big one. So many problems with the Airbus 380. But that, at one point, they said that could fit 1,000 people, okay, in that,
right,
airplane.
They certified it to 880 if you crammed all coach in there. I don't know if anybody put more than about 500 or 600 in it.
Yeah.
But nobody in North America ordered the 380. So I rode in an Air France, in the back of an Air France one once. But when I'm flying, if I go to Asia, there are 4 pilots. If I'm going to Europe on a shorter flight, there are 3 pilots. And sometimes I twist one of the other pilot's arms to go with me on an amusement park adventure. Usually I'm kind of on my own when I'm on a working trip, but it's always fun to have company.
Well, you got the flight attendants too, right? I mean, you can actually ask them to come along as well, right?
They don't normally, and a lot of times the weird thing is sometimes they're on different schedules or different hotels or different layovers. And obviously COVID was a thing for 2.5 years. Every time I went to Japan or Korea or Australia, I was literally not allowed to leave the building. I was quarantined in the hotel. So I kind of lost out on about 2.5 years of roller coaster adventures because, you know, parks were closed. And then when I was working, I was not able to even go out to grab lunch somewhere. So it was definitely a couple off years.
That's true. It was for everybody. In fact, a lot of the amusement parks closed down.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't really go too much. I'm assuming, and we have a break coming up now. But I do want to talk about the European amusement parks, because we know we've all talked about the ones here, Dorney Park and Six Flags, and all the ones in the United States. But when we get back, I want to talk about the amusement parks that you have that you've gone to, and the ones I've written in the book, obviously too. I'm sure you've done a lot more than that. So we'll be back with Live on Tape right after these messages.
Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeVac can stop these senseless tragedies. And it's so easy to use as well. Simply place the mask over the face and push and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeVac in your home or office. Please visit their website at www.lifevac.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFE-VAC. That's 877-LIFEVAC.
We are there. in your community. Small business owners, mechanics, police officers, homemakers. And we are there serving our nation in the Air Force Reserve. When medical emergencies arise, in cybersecurity, when natural disasters happen, we are there in space. We are Reserve Citizen Airmen, and we are there with over 180 different jobs to serve your country. Air Force Reserve. Go to AFReserve.com for more information.
And welcome back to Live on Tape right here, WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio. And that, of course, is Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. We are the number one talk radio station in Philadelphia, and I'm so glad to be here today. But before I go back to our guest, I really want to talk about World Star Public Relations, where excellence meets exposure. Now, are you ready to elevate your brand to new heights? Well, their team of dynamic PR experts is here to make your story shine bright on the golden stage. Whether you're a startup, an established artist, business, or a rising star, they specialize in crafting narratives that captivate and campaigns that really do resonate. World Star PR, your passport to the world of unparalleled visibility and success. Join the ranks of those who have already done this and made headlines. Choose World Star Public Relations and let your story take center stage. Their phone number, 631-506-6600, 631-506-6600. Today, I have got an amazing guest. I've known this individual for at least 15 years, okay? Really good guy. He's an airline pilot, okay? And I don't mean the small airlines. I mean the big ones, okay? As well as flying the Airbus 350, which is one of the largest aircraft around. It's equivalent to maybe a 777 for the Boeing Corporation. He's been a pilot for many, many years, but he's also a roller coaster enthusiast. He has a website, coastergallery.com. Pictures, if you want to get pictures of every single ride out there, he's got literally thousands upon thousands of pictures on top of that. He has literally rode 11 to 1,200 roller coasters over his lifetime. And 104 he did actually in 2.5 weeks, not too long ago. So this guy is the roller coaster guru, okay? I'm just so glad to have him here. So, Joel, you talked about the roller coasters. Now, in my book, I've got the top 10 that I knew of, okay? Alton Towers, obviously, Blackpool Pleasure Beach, yes. Which is in Lancashire.
Also in Great Park. Yes.
Yes, and also Chessington, World of Adventure, that was in Chessington. Disneyland Paris, which really kind of counts. My daughter just came back from this. She loved it. Drayton Manor, which is in Tamworth. Chaffinshire.
I don't remember. I was there like 8 years ago and I was not doing the driving, but yeah, somewhere in the UK.
Europa Park, which is in Rust Baden-Württemberg, Germany. I don't know if you
don't
did
ask
that
me
one.
To pronounce it, but I was there in July, and outside of Disney and Universal, probably my favorite park in the whole world.
Yes. I'm trying to pronounce these as well as I best I can. It's what Efteling or whatever that is Efteling, in the Netherlands, yes. Which is another top park. We have got Flamingo Land, and that's in North Yorkshire.
In the UK. Yeah.
Gardaland, and feel free to jump in if you.
And Gardaland, I haven't done. I think that's the first one that you've mentioned that I haven't visited yet. So I'm missing out on that one. But yeah, I love the ones. I mean, and I could spend. I mean, I spent 3 days in the last 2 years at Efteling, and I could spend 3 weeks talking about how cool Efteling is. And so, yeah, you're picking out some amazing parks.
Yes. Also, Legoland Windsor. That was in the United Kingdom. I've got Hyde Park. I don't know if you did. That was in Germany. I don't know if you did.
Yeah, that was in, I think, northern Germany. And I was there about 12 years ago. So I'm sure there are new coasters there that I've missed.
And, of course, Park Asterix. And that's in France.
I haven't done that one yet. I've done the Disney Paris, but it was in February and Asterisk was closed. So I'm missing out on that one.
And the last two on the list, basically Thorpe Park. And that's in the United Kingdom, and Tivoli Gardens. I don't know if that's still there, but as of 2019,
Tivoli
it was.
Gardens is the second oldest amusement park in the world. And ironically, the oldest one is about a 20-minute drive from there in Denmark. And it's 1840 something is when it got its start.
Sure.
And the story is that Walt Disney in the 50s went there and loved it and used that as his inspiration for Disneyland, because it's just beautiful with lakes and trees and flowers and a variety of rides. And back in the 40s and 50s, the amusement parks in the U.S. were kind of down and dingy and just basic rides and nothing fancy. So we have Tivoli Gardens in Copenhagen to really thank for the Renaissance and the American amusement parks in the 60s.
It's great. It's great to hear about that because, as I said, you know, obviously we have parks in the United States. Roller coasters started, in the United States. They weren't really roller coasters. They were kind of like, I don't know what you would call that. Basically, there was a middle part. You went down to the middle, went back up, and came back the other way. It wasn't much. And, of course, we have one of the older roller coasters, which is actually in, I think, Altoona. Leap for Dips.
1900-something. So it's 120-ish years old now. It's amazing.
It's right here in Pennsylvania, folks, if you get a chance. Yeah. Roller coaster is cool. Don't expect a lot. I mean, obviously, it's an old roller coaster, and there are no straps or anything to hold you in, basically. But it's a great ride, and we love it. And I see that Josh is going, wee, over there. So, Josh, what do you think of all this, man, with these roller coasters? What do you think?
I think they're summer. I love the aesthetics and how they're accurately designed. And speaking of that, I'm helping my friend's son. He just got the Lego Creator roller coaster. I think it's actually the Lego Creator Space roller coaster.
Uh-huh.
And then he also got a Lego City Robo roller coaster.
Wow.
So we are about to, next weekend, since I have some free time, we're going to break open the Robo Color Roaster and start building that. But he's very methodical when he builds them. He's like, he takes all the bags out of the box. He puts each bag with the proper instruction booklet.
Okay.
He also has like 2 to 3 varying sizes of tweezers because the stickers are so small. He uses the tweezers to put the right sticker on the right part.
Okay. That's pretty cool. You got to have a lot of patience for that stuff. I don't know, man. I don't know if I can do it. I don't think I can.
But it's actually very cathartic, I found.
It sounds good. So we've talked about those amusement parks, and basically they're great. And obviously, I've done the same thing. Whenever I was doing like interviews, television interviews or radio interviews, usually television, where I would go to, let's say, Canada, or I'd go to L.A., or I'd go to Miami or whatever, and I'd be on a television show, you know, the local CBS, NBC, or ABC affiliate, and I would sit there and we talk about it. And when I was done, I'm sitting there, you know, I'm like, okay, like you, do I want to just come back on an airplane the same day after I done my 5-minute little stint on a television station or radio station? So I would go to the amusement parks and I would check them out and I would do exactly what you did, and I would basically go there. You know what really intrigued me, Joel, and you probably realized this as well. When I went into coasters that were in Europe, or let's take an example, La Ronde over in Montreal, small. Mm-hmm. But it's a great little place. It's got some nice little roller coasters.
Very nice.
But
park.
No
yes.
One speaks English there, and this is the one thing I've noticed also in Europe as well, that you know, laughter is universal. It's universal. People, you can't speak English. They don't speak English. You don't speak their language. They don't speak your language. You could be on a roller coaster having a blast with them, and it's all visual. You know, you can see how happy yes. they are, and you could actually communicate without actually knowing the language. I think that was the coolest part of going to parks.
Although there's some cultural issues, and I went on a group tour when I did those 104 coasters.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, it's a bunch of coaster enthusiasts, and we're pretty well-seasoned travelers, and we don't get super scared with the little kiddie coasters. And I've actually had amusement park operators say, oh, why do Americans not scream? And I'm like, well, you know, this is a small ride. I spend a lot of time in Japan. I actually speak Japanese. So I love riding the coasters, and there's some amazing ones. Nagashima. Oh, Tokyo Disney Sea is the best Disney park anywhere in the world. So I love, but the Japanese are very quiet and reserved.
Yeah.
and extremely polite, but so loud. They scream their brains out on coasters. So it is so fun to see the cultural differences.
It's funny you mentioned that. My daughter just came back from Tokyo from a Japan trip. She spent a week there. She went to the park you're talking about, of course, Disney. And she loved it. In fact, she said the exact same thing that you just said. She said, yeah, I've been to all the parks. I've been to Paris. I've been to, you know, L.A. or Anaheim. I've been to, of course, you know, in Disney and in Florida and so on, a few other places. And she said she loved, absolutely loved Tokyo as her best when it came to Disney, her best experience. She loved it.
Tokyo Disneyland is very much Disneyland. There's a Thunder Mountain. There's a castle. There's a pirate ride. It's very much copying the two in America, the one in France. But Tokyo Disney Sea is just a one of a kind, with just the look and the feel of the place is just gorgeous. Now, they only have a couple coasters. They've got the Indiana Jones built by Pinfari. There's a little Crush something, or there's a little junior coaster. So you don't go for the coasters, but it just the environment and the theming is just phenomenal, and there are some other amazing rides that are, but it's a one of a kind Disney gem.
No, I totally agree with you. It really is way out there. But let's start to go local a little bit, okay? Obviously, okay. We're going into Halloween season. Obviously, we're going into and of course, in the old days, the parks closed down after the summer. They were done. That was it. Maybe they opened for Christmas, possibly, but most of the time they were done. Nowadays, we've got some amusement parks that actually stay open, especially during Halloween. So let's just shoot a few of them that are close by. For example, Fright Fest, Six Flags, all Fright Fest locations. My daughter actually was an actress for Fright Fest.
Yes.
Oh, she was
a Skarrick.
Yes, she was, and she absolutely loved it. I embarrassed her, too, because I go over and say, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. And she'd be like, Dad, I'm in character. I can't do, I can't do that. Right. But she loved it. So Fright Fest is on the top of my list. Also, Halloween Horror Nights, Universal Studios. That's in Florida. Halloween Haunt,
which is
go ahead.
Huge.
Yeah, Halloween.
Oh, I was going to say, my brother was there last year. I think there were like 10 different haunted houses, and there's no way you could do them all in one night. And it just amazing the amount of money and technology used to make these haunted houses. The Universals are really, really well done.
They're amazing, too. I've actually been there for that. You got the Halloween Haunt, which is Knott's Berry Farm. I like Knott's Berry Farm. I really always liked it.
It's not Scary Farm here in October, yes.
Oh, it's not Scary Farm as well.
Yes, that's what they bill it as. Yep.
And Phantom Fright Nights, Kennywood. Have you been there for that one? That's a good one, too.
I've been to Kennywood several times, although I missed out on... it was Steel Curtain. I wanted to visit it this year.
Okay.
Steel Curtain, which is only like 3 or 4 years old. They're closed. They're working on it for mechanical issues this summer. So I kind of changed my plans. But Kennywood, again, another historic park with some amazing rides and some amazing history. But I've only been there in the summer. I've not done the Halloween stuff there.
And that's pretty cool. Here's one of my favorite. I don't know if I've been there. I was doing some television and I ended up going to it. Kings Island. Halloween Haunt, okay? I tell you one thing. I like Six Flags. I like a lot of the ones. These were so, these actors and the equipment they had, and they take it very seriously. An amazing, amazing, amazing amusement park. That's Kings Island in Cincinnati. Really amazing. Have you been there? Have you been to Halloween Haunt?
I was just there this summer because I had not been on, what was the new... wooden one, Mystic Timbers.
Okay.
I've not ridden Mystic Timbers, and I'd not ridden what was the other one that it was new. Orion was new to me.
Okay.
So I was there in the end of May, early June. But they have 15 roller coasters. Oh, they built a little kiddie. The kid one was a Snoopy themed. I forget the exact name.
Yeah.
Snoopy's Soapbox Racers, maybe, I think was the name of it. But I have not done Kings Island this time of year. The interesting thing is almost every big amusement park now has a Halloween thing, But in the last year or two, post-COVID, more and more parks are extending their operating seasons.
Sure.
Dollywood was one of the first to say, hey, we're going to be open in the fall and Christmas. But I think Carowinds this year is going to try year-round, and maybe King's Dominion. So we're seeing more and more are going to try and operate in the winter. Now, maybe not all the rides, and obviously not the water rides, but we're seeing more and more parks extend their operating season, yeah, which I think is going to be very cool. I hope it goes well for them.
Not a problem. That was the top five. We got five more, but we're going to take a break, and we're going to go to the last five right after these messages.
Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeHack can stop these senseless tragedies. It's so easy to use also. Simply place the mask over face, push, and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeHack in your home or office. Please visit LifeHack.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877-LIFEHACK.
Teachers shape the future. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who'll make preventing pandemics their life's work. Sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who'll help combat climate change. And generating possibilities for a student who'll be the first in their family to graduate college. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
And welcome back to Live on Tape with Pete Tribuco here at WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio, Philadelphia. And for those of you just joining us, we're talking roller coasters, especially with Halloween right around the corner. You never could start too early. We want to talk about roller coasters, especially the amusement parks that offer, you know, incredible rides and scare the heck out of you, basically. I know I still do it. I don't go as much as I used to, but I love going at Halloween and also at Christmas time as well for some of these parks. So we got Joel Rogers, airline pilot, commercial airline pilot, flies the big aircraft, you know, the ones that we fly when we go in places, but he's also a roller coaster aficionado. He's got coastergallery.com. You want to find some really good pictures, man. I'll tell you, you got to go there. But in addition to that, he's ridden over 11 to 1200 roller coasters. And we were talking about the best places to go, and this is not just here, but around the United States for Halloween. And we already talked about Fright Fest, of course, Six Flags and all Fright Fest and all their locations is absolutely amazing. Halloween Horror Nights, which is Universal Studios in Florida. Halloween Haunt, or Not So Scary, Knott's Berry Farm. The Phantom Fright Nights at Kennywood, which is actually amazing. One of my favorites, of course, is Halloween Haunt at Kings Island in Cincinnati. Now, number six we talk about is, and I'm not sure if it's still there, but Hollow Weekends, Cedar Point. I believe that was one of their best. Don't know if it's still there.
I haven't done the Halloween thing at CP in probably a decade. I was there in February a year or two ago for an event. The park was closed, but you know, all the behind the scenes tours was amazing. And I somebody on Instagram or something shared pictures of the decoration. So they're still doing the Halloween stuff in Sandusky. So yeah, Cedar Point's still active with Halloween.
And by the way, for anyone that's a roller coaster fanatic, the Mecca for roller coasters is got to be and still is Cedar Point. That's number one on my amusement park list. I mean, they are just the best when it comes to rides and so on. Number seven, and you probably know this one, Joel, Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party over at Disney.
Yes. It's the perfect name of it. It's geared for the younger children. So it's not the people jumping out with chainsaws or making sparks. It's very cute. So, younger kids just absolutely love the Not So Scary stuff.
It actually is. I mean, when I had my daughter growing up, we went there. I mean, she, you know, before she became a scare herself, you know, and started doing entertainment at these parks, basically, she was like, no, I don't think I want to do that. So we would go to Not So Scary, and that would be Disney, of course, Orlando, Florida. It's also in Anaheim as well, California. Good one, not so intense, pretty cool. Next one is very good. And by the way, it's in Pennsylvania, folks. Okay, it's not Dorney Park, sorry. but it's Hershey Park in the Dark, okay? And that, of course, is in, of course, Hershey, Pennsylvania. Love Hershey, Pennsylvania. I go there at least once a year, Joel. In fact, now I'm actually going there 3 or 4 times a year for work. What do you think of Hershey Park?
Oh, it's great. Again, I wish parks would just stop growing and building new rides because I can't keep up.
Yeah.
And I'm embarrassed that I think it's been like 6 or 7 years. So I have not ridden Laugh Track and I've not ridden the new Wildcat. They took the old wooden track off and
yeah.
put the new steel track, and it's Wildcat Revenge. Is that the name of the?
I believe so. I actually did ride yeah. that. It's the rides are incredible. I mean, they're even better than they were before. You know, old rides like Great Bear and was it Revolution? Was it Revolution? The Super Duper Looper.
That's historic.
Yeah, that's still there. Yes. But you know, when you ride all these new rides, Fahrenheit and so on, but that's not new. But I mean, all these different rides, you're like, oh my goodness! And then you ride a little one like Super Duper Looper, and you're like, okay, well. What was that all about?
It's still fun, and it's still got some history. And I love the height labels are all based on Hershey candy. So you have
to
be a Hershey bar, or you have to be a Kiss or whatever. So I love just the overarching, you know, all the streetlights look like kisses and stuff. Hershey Park's just adorable.
It is actually. In fact, you know, since I'm getting older, I'm shrinking. I'm hoping I stay above the top bar. I don't know if that's going to happen, but you know, when you get older, you shrink a little bit there. So hopefully I stay above so I can ride all the rides over at Hershey Park. And again, these are
and
great.
I've had a problem with maximum height, especially in some foreign countries. Some of these inverted coasters or, you know, stand-up coasters or something weird, I watched them turn away somebody because he was too tall.
Wow.
So I'm flirting with that, but never been denied for being too tall. But it is a thing in some places.
No, it is. In fact, Millennium Force, Sandusky, Ohio. Okay, Cedar Point. It's on the cover of my first book. Basically, I almost didn't get on that ride. You know, that ride has, of course, like you know, it has the lap bar, but it also has a little belt that you have to put on, and you have to have a quarter of an inch or a half an inch leeway in the belt. And I was heavy then. I was like 250, yeah. 260. I'm down to like 200 now, but it wouldn't fit. So they said, well, sorry, we can't have you ride this ride. I can't get that leeway on the belt as a secondary, I guess, restraint. And they're going to pull me off. So what I did was I took my wallet out. I took my phone out. Yes. I took my keys out. I gave it to my wife who was waiting and I inhaled. That's and I had to inhale for the whole ride. And that ride's long. It's not a 3-minute ride. It's like a 5 or 6 minute ride. It's long.
Great,
and yeah. It's a great ride, you know, 90 miles an hour and so on. So if you ever get a chance, folks, Millennium Force, still one of the best rides, 300 feet high, maybe not the tallest in the world anymore or the fastest, but still a great ride. But I got on it. And that was then I started to lose weight. I said, that's it. I'm done. I got to lose weight. I don't want to ever
that's
go through that.
That's good motivation.
It was definitely. And I wasn't that heavy, but the strap would not work. So I had to do that.
Right. And the seatbelts usually are just there just as a sizing issue that they don't really need them as a mechanical backup.
I know.
But if you can close the seatbelt, you know that the harness has been moved enough that it is locked multiple times. I've done some behind the scenes tours and I was on Alpengeist and they had one all torn apart where you could see it. And they're like, oh no, if the seatbelt hits, there's 2 latches on this side and then there's 2 latches. So you have 4 latches holding you in place is a minimum. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing.
No, it actually isn't. In fact, I was glad to get on that ride. I actually was on television in Virginia for Busch Gardens, Williamsburg.
I love Busch Gardens.
I was riding as a Griffin. And
Griffin is there. Yes. Yeah. The dive coaster.
I love the dive coaster. We'll talk about the dive coaster we have here right in Dorney Park. But I got the tour. So I got to go up on top. I get to go up the emergency actual elevator that takes you to the top. And yes. We filmed from the top of this ride. We filmed.
I don't want to make this about shameless plugs, but I'm going to make a shameless plug. If you go to coastergallery.com, I did the same tour. They offered it before the park opened. Yeah, I had to pay for it. And I had a GoPro strapped on my chest. And I've worked. So somewhere, if you look at my YouTube channel, there's the video of me going up the Griffin Lift Hill and walking along it and doing some amazing videos. That there are just one or two places in the U.S. that kind of do that behind the scenes tour for the public. It's phenomenal. I don't know if they still did it. That was probably 10 years ago when I did the one in Williamsburg.
I've
made that climb, and it's so cool.
I actually did. And there's nothing up there. There's no gates, anything. I mean, you go to the edge, you're at the edge. In fact, my cameraman, boy, I tell you, I couldn't believe how courageous he was. He literally went off the side and was seated at the edge to take a picture from that side. And I was like, my God, if he dies or something goes on, that TV station is going to be in a lot of trouble. Yeah, we did a morning show, and basically we were trying to get this one person who didn't want to ride roller coasters. And we spent the entire morning show showing him everything that needs to be done. And then we went on the ride ourselves, and he ended up riding it, and they took pictures of it, or actually video of the ride. But yeah, Griffin's a great ride. I did have one last one too. I didn't mention the Count Halloween or the Count's Halloween Spooktacular, and you'll find them all at Sesame Place right here in Pennsylvania, right here. I believe that's not far from here at all. I think it's I want to say Easton, but I don't think it's Easton. I think it's they got it down as Philadelphia, so it's right in this area. I've done it. Not many great rides. I mean, you got a Vekoma ride there. You got a few small stuff. But overall, just a fun experience. So if you are in the area and you've been listening in, there are a lot of places that you can go for Halloween. And Halloween is a great time to go because not only do you get the rides, but you get the actors, which is a lot more than you get during the summertime. And you get to have some fun. Yeah, and you get to do stuff that you normally wouldn't do. So, out of the ones I mentioned, or you can mention another one, Joel, since you're the roller coaster expert here, what amusement park do you love best during Halloween?
Oh, that's a good question. And the sad thing is, I don't go to that many of the Halloween events. Last year, I was up in Lagoon Amusement Park outside of Salt Lake City.
Okay.
That was the only, October park that I visited last year. And then again, COVID kind of slowed down the park visits. And, either I was unable to travel or the parks were just literally closed. So
yeah,
I'm a little bit behind. I will tell you one story. I was in Universal Studios Osaka in Japan.
Yeah.
And they're in October, and they have, they are very much in your face with literal chainsaws. Now here's the spoiler. There's no chain, but they're revving the motor right in your, running after you. And I was so busy taking pictures for Coaster Gallery that I was just standing in the middle of the road, and here comes the big guy dressed as a monster. And no offense to your daughter, who was this character, I didn't budge. I know how to say EA Keiko desu, no thank you, in Japanese. So I just took the camera away and went, no thank you, and went back to taking pictures. And I hope that Japanese guy had a good story when he got home that night.
That's funny.
Say, there's this weird American guy taking pictures that didn't flinch when I was up in his face with the chainsaw.
Yeah, well, she was actually there too. She was over at the Hollywood Studios. She was a little disappointed. It was small compared to Disney Tokyo. So, but she did the same stuff that you did there. She just came back like about a week or two ago. By the way, you mentioned about the chains. That's how Halloween Haunt is in Kings Island. They actually have real chainsaws without the chain, so you hear the loud noise, and it's much better than what you get at Six Flags or any of these other places. I'm surprised you didn't flinch. I would have flinched. In fact, I did in Kings Island. I flinched when I heard the heavy sound. So, more power to you.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, now
some of them have the sparks on their knees and their hands that they come sliding in and make sparks and. I mean, there's so many different, movie, there are people dressed up as Megan in the Universal Parks. And I mean, there's so many different themes out there of the different parks. I wish I was a Halloween expert. And sadly, I've only been to a few. So, but I mean, every park has them. They're so popular now.
Yeah. Well, listen, when we get back, we're going to talk about Dorney Park as well as Six Flags Great Adventure because obviously they've got new rides as well. And there's a bunch of new rides out there. So we'll be back with Live on Tape right after these messages.
Each year, 5,000 people, including children, choke to death. LifeVac can stop these senseless tragedies. And it's so easy to use as well. Simply place the mask over the face and push and pull. You'll never regret having a LifeVac in your home or office. Please visit their website at www.lifevac.net today to protect you and your loved ones. Or you can call them at 877-LIFEVAC. That's 877-LIFEVAC.
The YMCA is just a starting line, for the true self blooms only when we find our purpose, what makes us tick below the surface. Y is the before work hustle, an after school home, a section of my block, a corner to call my own. With my Y, I stand strong, seen and supported all along. It's a million faces in a mirror, and everyone belongs. Find your Y. Join today at YMCA.org for a better us.
And welcome to the last portion of Live on Tape with Pete Tribuco on WWDB AM 860 Talk Radio. We are with, of course, airline pilot and roller coaster aficionado. He's got his own website. I'm telling you, it's an incredible website, coastergallery.com. We have Joel Rogers on with us. We were talking about roller coasters and thrill rides, and we talked about European amusement parks. We've also talked about the best places to go for Halloween. And, of course, we've mentioned Great Adventure being in this area, as well as Hershey Park being places that really do extremely well when it comes to that. And if you want to go all the way to Pittsburgh, you got Kennywood doing a great job as well. But I want to talk about Dorney Park. Now, you know, it's not the biggest, but they've got some really great rides. One of the ones I love so much, of course, is Steel Force. There's Hydra, which I love as well. It's a very silent coaster. They put sand in the ball bearings to make it very, 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 very close. Now, if you want a wood coaster, oh, my goodness, Thunderhawk and Talon. These rides are just absolutely amazing. Talon's an amazing ride, too, as well. But they have a new ride there, which I love as well. And I think it just started not too long ago, and that was Iron Menace. So, and I know that, Joel, you know a lot about Iron Menace. So tell us about that ride and why we should be afraid, but also excited to go on it.
Well, Iron Menace is built by a Swiss firm, Bollinger & Mabillard, and B&M has done like about 130 coasters worldwide. And I've loved every one I've been on. They are just built so well. They're smooth. They're well-engineered. Iron Menace, I think it was a 95 degree drop. So it is literally more than straight down. So, and of course, like Griffin, there is a holding brake. So you go to the top, they dangle you over, and then you just stop for 3-4 seconds and, you know, reassess all your life choices at that point. And then, you know, it's I got to look it up here, 152 foot drop.
Yeah.
And then 4 inversions. And they're like these floorless trains that there's nothing below your feet. And if you sit on the outside, are there 7 across? There's 7 riders in each row. So if you're in seat 1 or seat 7, you're nowhere near the track. The track's in the center of the train. So you're just suspended. And that is intense. And then sadly, it just opened in May. I haven't been on Iron Menace yet, but I've been on some other ones. So I'm assuming this is just as good as the other ones. Well, and so it looks like an amazing design.
Yeah, I've actually been on the two. I've been on the one over at Busch Gardens, Shrika, and then, of course, Griffin. And I tell you, you dangle, folks, just so you get an idea of what it's like. You're literally facing in a downward direction. You're looking straight down to the ground. If you're in the first aisle, the first section, there's nothing. Okay, if you're behind people, then you see people's butts and stuff. But if you're actually in the first aisle, there is nothing holding you in but this little, it's a nice harness. But bottom line is, and then it holds you there. And it holds you there for 5 to 10 seconds. Okay, some of them do. I know Griffin was 10 seconds, but then it would switch it up on me. So I'd be like, I would count to myself. 10, 9, 8, and that 0, I know they'd go, and then it'd mess me up. So it's a great ride. It holds you there, and it's what we call a dive coaster. Now, there's so many coasters out there, different types of coasters out there. I couldn't even tell you how many there are because there's just so many. But the bottom line is that dive coasters are probably, for me, the scariest because of them holding you there. They might not be as tall as Kinda Ka, okay, which is in Six Flags Great Adventure. And they might not be as fast as, let's say, well, Kinda Ka at 128 miles an hour, unless you're going to Abu Dhabi, right? I think, Joel, probably you know about that one. Formula Rusa?
Yeah, and I've not been on the one, it's what, Ferrari World? Or
Ferrari World, that's something. It, yes.
Yeah, so that is the first, and then I think Kinda Ka still
number
is
two.
Tallest in the world, and then it's the second fastest. The only problem with Kinda Ka, it's about 18 to 20 seconds from launch to stop. So it's very short, whereas the rides at Dorney are going to last for minutes. And I also have to throw out Thunder Hawk, 100 years old this year. So if you want to ride, you know, a coaster that was basically built before anybody at the park was born, that's some amazing history. And that's the other thing that I love. You know, I love the thrills, but I appreciate the engineering. I'm amazed by the history and the variety and how things have changed. So yeah, Dorney's got, brand new versus 100 years old. So it's the whole spectrum.
Folks, Dorney Park, I tell you, Thunderhawk is actually, and Dorney Park, Thunderhawk is actually a fantastic ride. It is rough. I will tell you that right now, it's an old school wood coaster and it's a little rough, but it's an amazing ride. Now, Joel, you probably remember Hercules. That was also at Dorney Park. And that was a backbreaker. In fact, that was replaced. Hydra, I think, replaced it.
It had a gorgeous drop over the lake, but man, it was painful. I rode it maybe twice, and I'm normally pretty sad when a roller coaster comes down, and I will say that I was not too upset. I got to look this one up. Built in 1989 and demolished at the end of 2003, so it's been gone quite a while. It looked amazing, and the dive over the lake and the turn over the lake, again, so picturesque. But not a good quality ride. Hydra's, you know, also built by B&M, like the new dive coaster.
Sure.
And it's just, it's so smooth and so fun.
Oh, yeah, that's a great ride. I love that ride. It's not overwhelming as well, but that ride, Hercules, I'll tell you, man, I get off that ride, my back was killing me. I needed a chiropractor after that one.
It was definitely rough.
Now, also, great adventure. Let's talk about that. You got Nitro, one of my favorites, obviously. An older school roller coaster. It's old, but it's great. Batman, okay? You've got the old Medusa. I don't even know what they call it now. Bizarro?
It was Medusa, and then it was Bizarro, and now it's back to Medusa. I wish they would just stick with one name. It's confusing when they keep renaming it. But they repaint it and make a little PR thing about it. But Medusa, floorless, and it's back to Medusa.
And El Toro was a really good wood roller coaster. I don't know what the status was for El Toro, but if you go to Great Adventure, there's about 9 or 10 roller coasters there. All of them are fantastic, but my favorite is will always be Nitro. I just absolutely love that ride.
It's another B&M. You're obviously a B&M fan. It's good. It's just a lot of airtime up and down and floating out of your seat, which I love.
Yeah. And when you do it, you got to sit in the front seat. I mean, and all these. See, I'm a more visual person. Some people like being in the back, and I did Nitro in the back for Channel 11 WPIX in New York City. Again, another situation like the other one, where we had somebody that was going to be riding a coaster that was afraid. Did the tour, and by the end of the morning show, we were riding it, but we rode it in the back because we had to get the cameras set up. And I'll tell you, it's a different ride, as you know.
It is. The visual is usually best in front, but if you like the speed of the air and the airtime of flying out of your seat, the back is usually best on most coasters because most of the weight of the train is already going down the front of the hill.
That's right.
And you're kind of whipped over, you're pulled over, and you're accelerating as you're going over that parabolic arc, and it can be much more intense, negative G's.
No, it definitely is, and the centrifugal force is amazing. We got about a minute left, so Joel, I want to get your websites, and we want to talk about that, where people can find you, and I'm telling you, you want to get a great website, pictures, and get out there and do roller coasters, even now with Halloween coming. Joel, what is that website, or what is that location?
It's coastergallery.com. Coaster like roller coaster, and gallery like an art gallery. And honestly, I started it back in the AOL days where you got like a free web page, and sure, it just grew from there. And I know it's out of date. And if you look at the parks I haven't been to in 6 or 8 years, it's older pages and older pictures. Go to my updates page, see some of the newer videos. There's links to all my YouTube things. Okay. And you can see all the, I have a lot of on-ride videos I've added recently. So, listen. And I hope to get back and update these parks around Philly.
Sounds soon. Good. Well, listen, thank you for being a guest. We really appreciate it. Joel Rogers. And don't forget www.coastergallery.com. And we'll talk to you all again next week. Thank you. Have a fantastic Saturday afternoon.